Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson. You're listening to UrbanBuzzMag.com. I have Dr. Heather Henley on the line with me. Dr. Heather Henley, please say hello and introduce yourself and let the people know what you do.
Okay, hi. My name is Dr. Heather Nicole Henley. I am known as the Master of Crisis Therapy. I am a licensed clinician. I've been practicing for about 22 years now. I specialize in complexities of trauma, and I love what I do. I've been working with families, Department of Child Services, juvenile probation, as well as just working with individuals in the prison systems as well.
Wow.
So, and I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, we're honored to have you. And so it's so important for us to know about the traumas that we deal with that we don't even know we deal with. Sometimes you're watching the news and you're getting all this anxiety and you don't even know it. And they put it on at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and before you go to bed. Can you just share the importance of what we watch before we go to sleep or just our daily activities that have such tremendous effects on us that we don't even really realize?
Yes. Well, one of the things is that human beings, we are always dealing with a level of trauma daily. Daily we deal with different situations. What is really important about the fact that we deal with those daily traumas is that we have to learn how to work through that process of just grieving or loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because daily, like you said, we watch the news, we're traumatized because we're seeing someone have gotten abducted.
Right.
You know, one of the big things for women right now is the human trafficking.
Right.
And just the violence against women. Then we have the violence against children.
Yes.
And there's just so many things happening daily in our lives. And what happens is, because of the trauma that we see daily, it impacts us. And so when we are experiencing a situation or when things are happening, we then, because of the things that we've seen or heard, it has been stored or imprinted in the amygdala, which is a place of imprinting. So then when issues occur, everything that we've seen on television, everything that we've heard from individuals, it begins to then replay in our mind. We begin to fantasize. And so we then at times go through that catastrophic thinking. And we turn some situations into major big situations because
right.
of things that we've heard or seen.
Right. I'm going to give the people an example. Y'all know me. How many went to the movies to see Bruce Lee and then came out the movie and acting it out for days because you were so excited and it imprinted in your brain that you started thinking you could do kung fu? All right, I just had to get that out.
Yes.
Although traumas have similarities, the way people respond mm-hmm. sometimes are so different. Like some people can recover quickly, while others, it may take years to recover. Why is that?
You know, when we are talking about trauma, it depends on environment. It depends on support systems. It depends mm-hmm. on the severity of the trauma.
Right.
It depends on if there was several traumas. It depends if it is some generational trauma that has occurred. So it really depends on what has happened to the individual.
Right. Okay.
You know, yeah. I was sharing, how is it that you and I go through the same thing and you excel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I decompensate, right? And the reasoning is, it is just how we both look at the situation, how we look at the trauma, you know, the perception behind it, what we gather from it. And all of those things play those key factors, you know, just when we're talking about individuals going through that process of healing from
right.
the traumas. And I believe the other thing, Nigeria, is that, you know, some of us, we hide secrets.
Mm.
Some are willing to talk about, I experienced this. This is what it did to me. Mm-hmm. I felt paralyzed. I felt afraid. But then some people, they don't talk about it. Mm. And it just begins to ruminate. And you know, just the fear begins to overwhelm them.
Wow.
So it just really depends.
Now, everyone is talking about the after effects of COVID in America and the mental health crisis, which we see, you know, violent crimes are up, suicide is up, domestic violence is up, people's emotions are pretty much everywhere, everybody's angry. I mean, going to the store now is like you gotta be aware of your surroundings. What are two tips that you can help someone examine themselves to get some form of self-control?
I would say you want to trace the anxiety or trace the fear.
Mm.
And so what I mean by trace, let's say, for example, if you are afraid of possibly catching COVID, then one thing you can do is trace it. Let's do preparation is what I say all the time.
Okay.
You have to be pro-social, proactive about what you're doing. So if I'm afraid that when I leave the house, there's a possibility that I can catch COVID because that's what I'm thinking in my mind, I want to trace it. I want to go back. I want to travel back to see when I went out yesterday, when I came back home, did I feel sick? Did I wash my hands? You know, did I be cautious going around individuals? Did I always have my mask on? Did I make sure I have hand sanitizer? If someone was coughing, did I even speak for myself and say if someone was coughing around me and they didn't have their mask on or cover their mouth, did I have courage to say, hey, you know, can you cover your mouth? You understand what I'm saying? These are the type of things when I'm saying to trace it, to think about it. These are those pro-social activities that you do to make sure that you can create a place of safety that will help you to decrease some of those anxieties when you are leaving the house. And then the second thing I would say is you have to be aware of surroundings and where you're going.
Right.
That's going to be important. And when you are doing that, and this is still going to come around just those safety measures, right? Let's say, you know, because I know that you live in New York.
Right.
Riding the sub is major. And so I know that a lot of individuals have to use public transportation. Now they have to be intentional on how they travel. So the question would be, do I travel at 5 a.m. because I have to be at work at 7, and I'm just giving an example.
Right.
And possibly if I leave at 6, there are going to be 100 people more than me leaving at 5.
Gotcha.
Right? So what I mean by intentional is you have to be strategic about your movement and the things that you want to do in order to help to decrease the levels of stress or anxiety that you're having. And that is going to be major and important when just even trying to maneuver with COVID.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, another thing I tell individuals to do is that you have to safeguard. And so we can safeguard on so many different ways. Taking vitamins to boost up your immunity. Those are other key factors that individuals can do just to help decrease those levels of stressors coming out of COVID.
Wow. So there's a post trending on social media. You know, every time a celebrity or someone passes, there's rest in peace. But recently, a celebrity passed from suicide, and people are like, check on your friend, check on your strong friends. And I think to myself, I mean, I'm equipped. I've been in the mental health field myself. But for the regular Joe, someone comes to you and just be like, I'm going to kill myself, or I feel suicidal. It's a couple of things someone might say. They may like, stop playing around, or no, everything's going to be all right. So for all those who are listening, Dr. Heather, please, if you can just give us a better response than that.
Well, a better response, if someone is telling you that they want to kill themselves, number one, you should take it serious.
Right.
That's number one.
That's right. Right.
Yes. The second thing should be, you ask them, are you alone? Just depending on what, you know, what the situation, mm-hmm. if they're calling or whatever. And if you're with them, just ask them, can we talk? You know, try to at least get them to explain what is going on. And then at that moment, let them know that they're not alone and that you want to either take them, drive them, walk with them to get the proper help that they're needed.
Okay.
And I want to be clear about this. If I am telling you that I want to commit suicide, I am asking you for help.
Right, right.
And I want to say this, a lot of times individuals, they are giving subtle hints, so many different things so many subtle hints, of things that are going on, especially if they already struggle with mental health.
Right.
So there's just those subtle hints, things that they say online. I can remember my daughter had a friend, someone that she went to a middle school, elementary school. The young lady, she took her life in high school in the locker room.
Wow. Wow.
Now, the aftermath was, as I was going through my daughter's social media, because after that, things shifted, right, as a parent.
Right, right.
I needed all passwords. And I needed to know all information.
Right.
Nigeria, what I found out is as I went through the feed of the young lady, she was saying, I'm not happy.
Wow.
I don't want to. For months, I went through her feed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy. Things are not going well for me at home. I just don't want to be here. And the children would like it.
Right.
So for months, the young lady was crying, saying it subtly.
Mm-hmm.
And then she stopped saying it.
Wow.
She completely stopped.
Wow.
And then I believe weeks later, unfortunately, she took her own life.
Right.
I traced it. I went back just to kind of follow to see what was, you know, what was happening. And I think it's important that we listen to the subtle indicators that people say. Sometimes when I'm talking to people, they make statements in Nigeria that things are not going well. I don't even know why I'm here or why I should be here. So what that tells me is that it's a thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everybody has had a thought.
Right.
Everyone has had a thought.
Right?
Everyone has had a thought.
Yes.
But what happens is when you fantasize on the thought, when you continue to ruminate on the thought, and then you begin to use all of the trauma things that you're taking in your psyche from television, and when you begin to put all of that together, it then begins to build on top of each other, and it begins to create a case, if I was to say it in that manner. It creates a case in your mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now a case is being built against you, against your thought of why you won't be missed or you're not needed or things are not happening well for you, or the reason why you feel people are turning their back on you, or the reason why you feel things are not happening, or the reason why people have left you. You begin to build a case against yourself based on just a subtle thought. The mind is powerful.
Wow. That girl, thank you for that. I know that's going to help somebody. But one thing you said is that they feel. So it's just a feeling, right? How do you balance not to act on that emotional feeling and differentiate from reality and non-reality? Everybody feels. It's like, you know, I feel like, you know, this, or I feel like that. How do we manage that?
Depending on the severity, some of us need to talk to someone.
Okay.
I tell individuals, right, you want to brain dump.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm having a feeling, I'm going to keep saying this word. I need you to trace it.
Right. Okay.
Right? You have to trace it. You have to investigate the feeling. So remember I said that you build a case in your mind against yourself. Now you have to investigate. So you have to go back and trace the feeling. And this is why we tell individuals, and I say it all the time, I said, I need sobriety in your emotions. there's a level of dysfunction in our emotions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because our emotions are found around our five senses.
Right.
That's where they're found around. I need you to be sober in your thinking. If you are fresh in the emotion, you cannot make a sound judgment. So you have to take a moment to sit in the emotion and trace why you are feeling the way that you're feeling.
Right, right.
And once you do that, it almost redirects or interrupts the negative thinking behind it.
Okay, that's a key word right there, that negative thinking. I mean, everybody got some stinking thinking, you know?
Yes.
All right, so talk about the recovery process. I've gone to therapy. I've survived PTSD, so I am an advocate. I'm a Christian. It was a rough ride. I had to make a decision that was best for me, and that was to get help and go see a therapist. But the recovery process, it was work, but it was well worth it. Can you please share how important it is to get help?
It is very important to get help. And when we're talking about recovery, everyone's recovery is going to be different. One of the big things that I say, one of my mantras is, I said, you have to take seconds to moments, moment to minutes, minutes to hours, hours to days, days to weeks, weeks to months, and months to years.
Right.
I say this because you have to take the time to go through really the process.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you are taking the time for recovery, you can then recover well. There is a place called recovering well.
Yes.
You know, but you have to be able to take that time, because when we are talking about trauma, and even as you indicated with the PTSD, you're going to always have a trigger.
Yes, ma'am.
So when you recover well, when you actually take the time, you learn strategy,
yes.
You learn skills to help you in those moments of being triggered so that your response can be well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I want to talk to you about people's belief system, and specifically as I'm a Christian, you're a Christian. Christians, it's okay to not be okay. Can you just elaborate on that? Because Jesus is Lord and we're promised healing, but sometimes we need help. That's why he gave us therapists and doctors and stuff. But go ahead.
Absolutely. It is okay not to be okay. Listen, you brought up the Christian thing. Jesus had therapists. He cried tears of blood. The people that counseled him was the angels, because he had to make some hard choices and decisions. And so it is okay not to be okay. We just want to not stay not okay.
Right.
That's the difference. It is okay for you to wake up and have a bad moment.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay for you to wake up and feel a level of rejection, or feel a level of anxiety, or even feel a level of fear. It is okay. But what is important is that you don't want to stay there.
Right.
And I'm going to keep using this word because it's important. You have to go back and trace. I will give you an example. I love examples.
Yes.
So one example, and I like to use myself.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
My son, when he was in high school, he was in a bad car accident.
Mm-hmm.
He almost lost his life.
Wow.
The car flipped. It was wrapped on a pole.
Jesus.
It was on fire, and they had to cut him out. And I was on my way back to the city because I worked out of the city that I lived in.
Uh-huh.
They were trying to contact me. So finally, when I get back, I find out that my son is in the hospital, and they don't know if he's going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And so I finally get to the hospital. To move the story along quickly, it was a journey. He survived.
Amen.
However, this was the residue that was left in me after the incident. Now, every time I could not speak with him, I would go through intense fear.
Mm.
I would automatically think that he had got into a car accident, something happened to him, maybe he died. It took
oh
me,
goodness.
The trauma took me back to that day.
Right.
And I was reliving it every time I could not speak to him. Every time he didn't answer the phone quickly, every time his phone went to voicemail, every time I would experience believing that the same situation had happened to him again and that he had, that I had lost my son.
My God.
I experienced that level of fear. And so what I had to do was challenge the negative thoughts that were trying to overwhelm or overtake me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, it is okay to have a moment, but you have to go back and trace it, right?
Right.
And so I had to not allow the catastrophic thinking that was connected to the trauma to then overtake me and take control over the day.
Wow.
Is that making sense?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
so
ma'am.
So I would, the first step, I would call him again. The second step I would say is, he's fine. He just can't get to his phone right now.
Right.
And that he's going to call me right back.
Right.
And right, I had to do self-talk.
Yes!
To bring myself out of that space.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, you're going to always have a trigger, but you have to always be ready for your response
right
to the negative thought that may try to come to overtake your thinking. And that is what is going to be important when we make that statement of, it is okay
not
to be okay.
Yeah. Amen. Listen, I battle catastrophic thoughts forever, and I'll just share my personal experience. What helped me is absolutely self-talk. And I would talk to myself with positive reinforcement, but sometimes that wouldn't work. So I came up with this line, and it absolutely helps me. And when I can't get in contact with someone, or I'm having a moment, or my thoughts are running, I always say this to myself: you do not have enough information to come to that conclusion. And this has changed my whole life. Like, if I can't reach my sister and it's a storm and I'm like, oh my gosh, she didn't call me, she didn't text me, what is going on, oh my, was she in an accident, and my mind starts going like that, I say, you do not have enough information. No one has called you about her. She hasn't reached out. Like you said, she will contact you. She will respond. Maybe her phone, you know, died. She ain't got no battery life. So, yeah, you have to come up with your defense team.
Man. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what I love so much is your compassion and care for what you do oozes out. I've had the pleasure of working with you, and just, but I'm glad you shared with us even personal experiences. But how, if someone was interested in, you know, obtaining your services, how could they reach you?
So they definitely could go to my website,
mm-hmm.
Which is heather-henley.com. I am also on Psychology Today. So if you just type in Psychology Today and look up therapist, you definitely can find me. You can find me through LinkedIn. And I'm also a Better Help clinician.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much for dropping in and giving us some jewels and gems. I really appreciate it. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So as you continue to grow and prosper in all that you're doing, if you need a media, we are here for you.
Well, thank you. I really, really appreciate that. And it was an honor. It was definitely an honor being on your show.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.